I have something I need you to translate for me.
Why are you here?
I was really intrigued just in the first couple pages, just because it felt very emotional, and I was told it was a sci-fi film. So getting to the end of the script, I was completely intrigued. Had to go back, read it immediately.
Now you heard it. What do you make of it?
Is that...
Yes.
Are you sure? Did they have...
So how would you approach translating this?
I can tell you that it's impossible to translate from an audio file. I would need to be there to interact with
them. Denis wanted it to have a feeling of sort of like an independent film. He wanted it to feel very intimate, almost voyeuristic at times. And even within the sci-fi element, he wanted it to be about the relationships between the characters and the aliens. Yeah, and
you hesitate by saying aliens there.
I know, because I don't think it's funny. I don't think I'm like Abbott and Costello.
That's the nicknames.
Yeah, and what's funny is that they weren't even aliens I was speaking to. It was pretty much either X's, pieces of tape, or just like puppeteers holding.
There were puppets with it. I wondered about that. I wonder whether it was green screen or whether you're just looking at a void.
It was a white screen, so we had all that source light, which was really wonderful as we got to work with that light. There were puppeteers that stood behind the screen, and I always like to give them a shout out because they would stand around all day long holding these poles, running back and forth for us, and then holding them for these extraordinarily long takes.
And they were the size of these aliens,
yeah,
which are like some big distended octopus-like creatures.
Yeah, well, they weren't the size, they were just the height for eyeline, so they were let us know where to look.
How much corpsing went on?
How much what?
Corpsing.
What's,
you know, when you try not to laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Corpsing, I mean, it's an old theatrical phrase,
I love this phrase. This is basically my whole life is this.
You know, in the old sort of Victorian days when somebody had to play dead on the stage. And if you're corpsing, it's sort of inherently funny. And it would spark the other actors into fits of giggles.
Yes, there was a lot. The first hazmat suit I had, apparently they were one size fits all. But what fits Forrest Whitaker, who is... over 6 feet tall, and what fits me looks quite different. Like Forrest looks kind of dashing in his, and I literally looked like a Lego character. There was a lot of
corpsing in that. But not at puppet aliens. You could take those seriously.
No, we could take those seriously. We laughed a lot, but mostly we laughed at Denis. He has this wonderful French Canadian accent, and for a film about language, we had a lot of communication. Errors, so to speak.
So a serious film on one level, it's about the danger of miscommunication.
Yeah.
But really, it's about motherhood, this film, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
Louise loses, in the course of the film, a daughter. And we see that in mm-hmm. flashback sequences.
Absolutely. It is a film about motherhood. That was the thing that pulled me into the film. Denis said, you know, yes, it's about this, it's about that. It's a political element and a sci-fi element. But at the end of the day, it's a mother's story. And anytime we were like having trouble with a scene, he would be like, we have to get back to Louise. He's wonderful.
So he was emotionally supportive, was he?
Oh,
on set.
Completely emotionally supportive. And also, once you've worked with a director who has compassion for the experience of acting, it just gives you a lot more permission to invest and to stay in that place, to allow it to feel intimate and personal.
Very different to the David O. Russell approach, then, is it?
You know what? Everyone I talk about, Denis, everybody brings up. They are very, very different.
But you had talked about it. I mean, you said about when you're shooting American Hustle,
absolutely.
You were going home and you were crying every night because he was pushing you and he was quite tough on you, wasn't he?
Yeah. That experience was really special to me because that's when I learned to separate work and life, like really, really learned to separate it. And so it's, at the end of the day, extremely beneficial experience.
I'm sorry, we don't have to go dancing. We can go have coffee or talk or something.
No, I need this. Please, I need to go dancing with you.
Okay, baby, let's go dancing.
Very different role to Dr. Louise.
Yes.
And we look back through the roles, and you have sexy con artist in American Hustle, the, you know, young ingenue in Catch Me If You Can, but then playing tough-talking boxer's girlfriend in The Fighter, Disney princess in Enchanted. There's not a lot that binds these roles together. How are you choosing the roles?
I want to see something I haven't tried before. Sometimes it's just the desire to work with an actor, work with a filmmaker. I have pretty strong instincts about what I respond to. Like there are things I can't let go of, and then there are things I can let go of quite easily. And I always think those must not belong to me.
What's interesting about a lot of those roles, apart from take Enchanted out of there, but a lot of the roles you've taken in the past have been girlfriends or wives. And with Louise in Arrival, we talk about the emotional core and the intelligence, but it's also about the self-determination. And she is single and having to deal with things on her own. And that's a different role to many of the ones that you've taken in the past, isn't it?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I have played a lot of girlfriends and wives.
Wags, as we call them.
Wags, exactly. Yeah, I guess I have. There you go. I can't argue with you.
Hadn't occurred to you.
But no, because I don't think, I think of them as singular. Yeah. Even if it's not developed in the script, I make an effort to develop their characters on my own. So by the time I come to the script and come to shooting, I'm bringing a fully formed character to the screen for you.
And is it a job that you love? I mean, a lot of people say, you know, I have to do this. I was destined to do this. I mean, I read something about your father who was in the army, and I know you grew up as quite an itinerant child. I think you were born in Italy, weren't you?
You've got such good words I'm stealing today. Corpsing, itinerant. I love this.
But just in the childhood and bouncing around. And from what I understand, your dad was in the army and then gave that up to become a singer. Do you sit there in clubs and restaurants or whatever, watching him perform and think that's something I could do? Is that where it came from?
Yeah, I guess so. It was something I was always drawn to, just quite naturally. I do remember doing a play when I was in kindergarten. And I thought it was a fascinating thing, not the attention or adulation, but like, I can do something and the audience is smiling or clapping. And that was like, that interchange was really rewarding to me, even at a young age. But didn't do performing as a child at all, and wasn't really encouraged to be a performer.
Oh, really? You weren't taking the star roles in the school productions all the time? You weren't the one to watch?
No, gosh, no.
Jennifer Lawrence told me an amazing story about being a kid and knocking on people's doors and would pretend to be a lost child or pretend to be somebody else.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
I think she still does that. You know, nobody's buying it anymore. She's one of those, when I say freak of nature, I mean it in the best way possible because I've acted with her and for her, it is so organic. Like for me, I do all this stuff and I do it. And I'm not saying she doesn't work hard because she does, but Leonardo DiCaprio's like that. There's only a couple actors I've worked with. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like breathing to you. I watch Meryl Streep on set. Oh, I could just talk about it for hours. The way that she takes in a set and touches things and I can tell she's mastering her space. Mm. And I'm like, literally, there are jokes that if you give me too many props, I can't speak. I mean, it's like, it's just at some point you have to acknowledge your flaws and weaknesses and just work within them. And I don't think anybody's perfect, but there are people who come pretty darn close.
And then just finally, I know you have another film coming out here very soon, the Tom Ford film.
Yeah.
Are there any dream roles? Are there parts that you imagine that you want to play? You're a big Star Wars fan, aren't you?
I do like Star Wars a lot.
That franchise is not dead.
Didn't Daniel Craig go as a stormtrooper? I'm like, let's do it.
That's right.
Put me in a fuzzy costume or something. I don't care. I'll be an Ewok. I mean, I'm small, so I think I could probably do Ewok work.